Jacob, Jacob, Joe and Jacob. Agile monkeys play. Jacob, Jacob, Joe and Jacob. Agile, unpredictable Jacob.
Hello, Jacob listeners. Welcome back. My name is Joe.
And I'm Jacob.
And we are here today to continue on a story from a last episode. And we're here today with Joanne Stone. Hi, Joanne.
Hi there. Thank you.
Now, if you listened to the last episode, you might have heard something around Wicked Agility, Agility Impact, that sort of thing, where agilists around the world are taking their skills and applying them not just in software, but out into the world to deal with real problems that exist. And Joanne just happens to be at the center of all this. Hi, Joanne.
Hi there. Oh, at the center. Feels like there's a hurricane happening.
Tell us a little bit about yourself and where you are in the world and what you're doing with your time.
So I live in Toronto, Canada. I am a mother of four girls and I have two dogs and two cats. The dogs are like, one is a he's a Samoyed, so he's got a triple coat, so these are winter dogs, right? So, and the other one's a Husky Malamute. They're spoiled rotten, of course. But they're amazing. It's really cool. So what I do for a living right now, actually, I am an entrepreneur, but I work a lot in business agility transformations and such. And I have a professional coaching background, like coactive coaching or, you know, the list of coaching stuff that we would typically get. And that job was great. It's great. It pays the bills. It's awesome. It was exciting for me for so long. And I'm still doing it because I need the bills paid. I'm transitioning over in this space of these wicked problems of the world. And like you said, capturing a lot of stories and trying to move along a movement of a sort is what I'm trying to do anyways, with a bunch, not just me, but a lot of other people as well.
So wicked problems. Can we hear more about them? What kind of wicked problems are
What
those?
Do you mean by wicked as well?
Okay, so when I talk about wicked, I'll start with wicked. So in the US, it's wicked, and like Boston and Maine, it's like wicked. Oh my gosh, oh great. It's like it's a passionate, energized word. So I like wicked because of that energy to it, but wicked also represents wicked problems. So wicked problems is a known term. I don't know when it was defined. It was many, many, many years ago. Maybe it was in the 30s or 50s. I don't know exactly when. But what it is those problems which are, if you're familiar with Knefin, are in that complex space, right? It's and even in the chaos space. So it's the problems which we may not be able to solve in our lifetime. It takes a team. Our teams of teams actually do. It requires persistence. It requires a diversified team. It requires an experimentation mindset. Like a lot of the stuff that, you know, Snowden talks about in terms of Knefin and the experiments that he does, it requires that, like, small iterative steps to kind of figure out where you need to go next. So it is those things, like in the climate space, it is environmental, it's social, it's economic. And it's things that we see all around us, and we're seeing them more. Right, more and more all the time. And so it's disheartening. Like, it really is. It's really disheartening seeing all the stuff. And COVID is what really kind of put me into this space, because it was disheartening to see the world kind of in this frantic state. And I was very much like, what do I do? And that's where it sort of started to really blossom at that point.
What did you do?
Well, see, I have a software engineering background, so I'm like, I get really curious, right? So I like, okay, well, okay, so, you know, this is the definition of wicked. This is okay. I know that we have tools to play in this space. Like, we can do something. And so I got really curious. I was like, and so Lisa Atkins actually and I were driving to Utah at the before the pandemic started, and she was really upset about the fires in Australia. So, and so was I. Like, we're both talking about it, and she's like, oh, Agilists, they can really work in the disaster area. So I my first thing is, like, I'm going to start talking to people. I gotta see how I could actually be in this space. So the first call I made was to a 911 operator. I didn't call a 911 operator, but I interviewed a 911 operator.
Yeah, good.
How's it going?
Do not do this at home.
exactly. I'll tell you what happens if you do that. Yeah, so an absolute lovely lady from New York, and she was talking to me about the disaster centers, which are set up in New York, and how they worked and how they run. And, you know, as I started to talk to her about her story, I could start now envisioning how we could actually be in that particular space. So they have a command center, and the command center is just, everyone is just, every day they do like a stand up with the leader, you know, they come in, and then everyone, fire, police, you know, and fire, police, ambulance, electricity, utilities, you know, are all there, and they do a check-in. So they have a standard list of things that they do, which is always the same thing, you know, make sure that you clear the roads so we can get the electricity, so we get the vehicles up. And so they have a standard thing that they need to do. They work like crazy to kind of, you know, get to that point of fixing all these things and helping all the people who are in the disaster. But the room is complete chaos. The room is absolute chaos. And so, and these guys are working like crazy. And so what happens is like what she says, I go, well, how do you take care of each other? Because the mayor or whoever's running it, he's just like, he's worried about the outside. He's not worried about the inside. He's not worried that the group and the team is working well together, right? So it's really
like he trusts them to sort of figure that out.
Oh,
but and doing so also accidentally disempowers them a little bit by not giving them direction on how to work together.
Yeah, well, I think there's a standard way that they know their job. And so they always have that kind of like standard package that for the most part, it's pretty good. So they've got it. And you should be able to trust them, and you can. Mm-hmm. You can trust them to do their job. I don't think it's a problem. I think it's a self-care, right? It's like, you know, when we try to make teams sustainable, they can run at a sustainable pace. These guys, of course, you know, have to be there like 36 hours awake or whatever the case may be, but who takes care of them? Who watches them? Who makes sure that they are in that, you know, in the right mental space, right? So she came up with this term of, you know, you eat a cookie, you take a cookie, you feed a cookie, right? You share a cookie. So you take care of yourself first. And then you go and you help another person, right? So from a 911 operator, that's what they would do, is they would just watch out for the rest of the people. But for me, I'm kind of going, it would be really cool that if they didn't have to worry about anyone else, right? Like, what if they just focused on their stuff and that someone else kind of like made sure that the space was okay, right? That was doing all these things. So anyways, that's what came up for me. And I'm sure that they do this some shape or form, right? So, but that was the very first interview. I went, oh, this is really cool. Okay, so who else? So I actually started to talk to many people all over in the Agile space to kind of go, well, what kind of wicked problem have you done? And then I started collecting the stories. And so I started getting wicked wisdom. I call it wicked wisdom. What's your wicked wisdom from this? So it's all I can sit there and say, it's absolutely amazing and so moving to hear everybody, right? So Lisa Atkins, who we all love and know, she called me onto a panel panel discussion at Agile 2023 and in Portland Scrum Gathering. Portugal. And so what happened was we went on stage and she brought in like three or four other people that are doing this as well. And then I'm going like, oh my gosh, like all of a sudden I had talked to all these people in the world, but now my list of people were growing and growing. Right. Because now I was talking to people, you know, from Berlin, or I'm talking to people from UK and Scotland, South Africa, right? We have people from Argentina, Costa Rica, New Zealand, Australia. So, you know, it was just like, it's huge. Like when I, you know, and so I kept on kind of going into these spaces and finding some amazing stories. And one of the guys, well, there's a few, all of them kind of inspire me a lot. But Kuber, who's from the UK, his brother was murdered in the Middle East. And it pushed him. Like there's things that, like I say, people get really passionate about doing this. Like there is a point where all of a sudden they go and they start trying to make a difference, right? And so some people, it's because of their, you know, their individual passion for communities or for, you know, people in need. And, you know, so there's people have all their different passions. But Kuber, what had happened is his brother got killed. And then he went and started to, it put him into a space of, I need to find out why this happens in the first place. So he interviewed over 100 or so people in the UK, not in the UK, in the Middle East. And what he figured out was the cause was marginalization. And so what he started to do was create a mini MBA program within the Middle East. And wow. He utilized Lean Startup, you know, Agile Method, like in order to get it going, to figure out it, like it was his container to get this out.
Basically, right, to just get the gave whole them a program. Tool set, explained how to use it, and then invited them to fill that construct with whatever they thought they could use it for. That's amazing.
Yeah.
So what did that end honestly, up becoming? So like, obviously he made the program, but like, how did that impact the community? Like when did it
happen? Yeah. So, and he, like, he's a total data guy. So if you want data, he'll give you the data. He's great. but what he did is, like, for example, one of the stories is there is a guy that was out there. He was a barber. Mm-hmm. He had a broken down chair sitting in front of a building, and he basically would invite people. That was where his business was. And there was a nail where he hung his mirror outside of a building, right? He got charged rent for that nail. Kuber is like, go for the nail to hang up the mirror so that he could cut the hair of his clients. And so he worked with that particular individual in this mini MBA program to kind of help them understand what it's like to make a business or build a business, and how he could actually, have no debt whatsoever. Wow. And so what he ended up doing was these people are now like debt free, right? Wow. So like he's just helping them understand how to run a business, right? And so
he's
not
like a financial advisor or this is not a regulated space where he's working in. This is like they need help sort of space. So he's just using what he learned as a coach or someone who works in the Agile community to break down the problem, engage with them personally, and find a solution that fits them with what's available. That's amazing.
He used his own skills.
Yeah.
Right. So I don't know if I don't know, Kuber, he probably does have an MBA. I couldn't tell you, but he used his own skills in order to do this. And that's what the stories that I'm seeing from these people is that they start from where they're at. This is a skill that I have. This is the way that I do it. This is how I like to interact with people. And I'm going to start, you know, here. Right. Mm-hmm. And they all start doing all these little steps in order to make these impacts. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So can I tell another one?
Use more words.
I got the wolf down my sleeves like crazy. So the other one I really love was a guy that I know who lives in the East Coast of Canada in a place called Newfoundland. And so he has there's a community which is there. They have a locally run kind of community government because they're really small. It's their own community that you have to go into community board type of thing. And so he's really interested in helping the community out as much as he can. So he was there and he started to talk to the community board as to what's needed. And they were like, we think it's this. And he goes, well, listen, how about I work with you? So he did like a lean coffee, right? Just to kind of figure out, well, what is really important? And then they really loved it. Like they loved like, oh, we need to do this. We need to do that. These are the issues and problems we have. But they didn't reach out to their own community. Like they do a larger community meeting. They bring them in. Right. But they don't do it in a the way we would do an open space. Like they don't hold a structured meeting that's collaborative, right? They would have their own kind of structure, but they're not collaborative structure. So he brought in the open space, right? So the and they brought the, so the whole community came in, they did an open space to figure out what was really bothering the community. So in the years prior, it's typically, how do we increase tourism so we can get more money, right? What they actually found out was that a local community store just got shut down. And the owner said, you know what, I can't do this anymore. He's retiring or whatever the case may be. The average age of the people who were there were like 65, I think, mm-hmm. right? Their average income was around 35K. Mm-hmm. The nearest biggest place was around 2 hours away. So they didn't have a lot of money, right, to actually to pay for gas, right? And especially with Ukraine war and everything like that, it's even worse. So what they wanted was their own local store. That's what they wanted as a community. Because they needed to survive, right?
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
And he actually, that's what kind of like bubbled up. So I was just like, wow, like that was just
helping the community just have the conversation to realize that they all would support this thing, helped focus yeah. that effort to actually get it done versus, wow, that's amazing.
Yeah. Well, it's about finding what matters, right? Like finding what really matters right now, right? What's really needed right now? And how do we do that without having these conversations with the people, without finding it out, right? Straight from, you know, the customers. Like we know this, right? Anyways, I mean, I can keep going, but you know, I'm on to the point where I want to tell you the story that where I get really pissed off. Is it okay if I stare?
Yes, please, please tell us about the story that pissed you off.
Okay. So here's what's happening, right? So let me just give you a little bit of a journey to to April. So it's so cool. So I mentioned that I am like international, talking to a lot of people. There are so many people out there that are like, Joanne, this is really cool. What can I do to help? You know, I want to help you. I want to be part of this. So we created this team called the Agility Impact Team. Team Agility Impact is what we're called. We at the beginning of the year, we're going, okay, what can we do? How can we keep this at the plan at the top of mind? Like, that's what we want to do for this year. What can we do? So one of the things that we came up with was let's do a conference, a virtual conference. One, okay. I've done conferences before. Let's try it out, right? Let's do it virtual, the whole thing. We'll invite a bunch of people. In like 2 months, it got up and going, and it was just amazing. It was just being held by these great people. They're all the same way. We want to share, we want to inspire, we want to get people going. So we had this guy who came on, and my gosh, you know, I'll find the name later and share it with you, and you can share it with everyone else. But he was talking about software development, right? And how, you know, how much of our software development that we use, it is actually surpassing, I guess it's in terms of CO2, it's actually surpassing the output of it. It's coming from our development, right? From the work that we actually do. So he started to talk about, you know, there's efficient coding languages which are out there, right? So I'm going, this is really cool. You know, if you code in this, this is more efficient than that language. And he was going back and forth. And one of them was C. And I'm going, yeah, I used to code in C a long time ago. but he was talking about more efficient ways of doing it. But what it got me to really think about was, I go, oh my gosh, I've developed software just aimlessly, like before Agile, aimlessly. You know, marketing, you want this feature, that feature, that feature. And like, we've been doing it for so long, right? Where we create these features, and they're out there on a system somewhere, running somewhere, you know, and that takes electricity, and that creates more CO2. And I'm going like, fuck, man. Oops, sorry. I swear. I'm sorry.
No, it's totally.
I'm like, I'm so mad. Okay, sorry, kids. But like for me, it's like that is in my heart. Like I'm going, I did this. Mm. I created stuff like that. That's sitting out there, I'm sure. That's consuming energy. That's putting out CO2, right? And it just reinforced in my mind why things like business agility is so important. Let's really find out and lean startup and all the systems thinking and all the things that we do right? To look to ensure that we're delivering something of value, right? We're not trying to deliver all the features of the world. We're just figuring out what is the best value thing that is required that's going to support our individuals or the clients who are using it, right? And that's what we need to do, be leaner, be smarter, right? Like, and we, I'm sure we can reduce a lot of waste because of that. But anyways, so I'm pissed off because I created that. But I think our industry is just, you know, and that the other thing is the metaphor I look at in terms of that is like, we think it's like that we're putting things in the cloud like crazy, like it's the ocean. It's like we're back in the 1900s or something like that, where we figured we could throw as much things into the sea and it didn't matter. It's the same thing. We're treating the cloud the same way. We can throw as much we want in there because it doesn't matter. Mm-hmm. Well, folks, it does, right? And there's lots of studies that are out there, right? That it does matter. So, and we can be, and we have the tools. We know how to do this. We know how to do it. Like, oh my.
I feel the passion. I totally do. You're miles and miles and kilometers away, thousands, in fact. And I totally feel the passion on this side of this talk. And you've told us about your origin story in the Wicked space. You've defined Wicked for us, and you've given us examples. You've talked about helping marginalized people get out of debt and take ownership of their own place in the market, which is amazing. You've talked about a small community needing to come together to work on whatever it is that they needed to do to sort of hit that next step as a community. And, you know, sort of they had the problem of they wanted to increase tourism and all the others, and somebody helped them that. And then you talked about almost raising the bar of transparency for, you know, like when you deliver a feature, what is valuable, not just to us, but to the world, you know, like, you know, what's the hidden costs? And I love that too. I have two questions for you. One is, where can people learn more about these? So if any of our listeners is listening to this and they're like, gosh, that sounds totally up my alley, I want to learn more about what other people are doing, where can they go for that?
So we do have a website. It's called Agilist for Planet. So that website is available. You can see a bunch of the people that were part of the conference, and their videos are there and the PowerPoint. So Lisa was a keynote. By the way, the other thing that we're doing is we're bringing in other people outside of our bubble. So we brought in a sustainability person to come and share, because they have a lot of similar problems that we've seen our corporations experience, and they're burned out. They're really burned out. That's another place where you can go. We also have another website called agilityimpact.org. And that shares some of the other stories which are out there. It doesn't have all the stories. We certainly have to update with all the different stories which are out there. And then, of course, my interviews, which are on the Wicked Agility site. So there's quite a few, but I think this is where, you know, this is what I'm trying to do, right? I'm trying to, as part of building awareness of really all the cool things that we are doing. And oh my gosh, all these stories are popping into my head now, like a Carolyn Swab, all the great things that she's doing. Like it's incredible, all the amazing things that people are doing around the world. And all I want to do is be able to bring people together to share their knowledge, to inspire others, right? And so that we can start taking these steps. And I think we were talking about it earlier too, like how can we do it practically? Like what's the first thing that we could potentially do? And I know, like for me, I run, I've actually started to take a group of my community and my community in Canada, and actually there's some people that are from around the world and as part of it, we're actually doing our own agility impact project, which is around helping small restaurant owners with sustainability. And I can tell you, it's really incredible. Like, we have a bunch of
sustainability to go with small restaurant owner, by the way. So crack that nut. That's amazing.
Well, you know, we don't know. But the thing is, we're utilizing, we have design thinkers on this team. We have UX, you know, we have agile. We have agilists, we have scrum masters, coaches, we have product owner, we have someone, Carrie McLeod, who's just amazing at team dynamics. Oh my gosh. You know, she's helping bring the team together. And So, and we're just doing a small little test project, like a small, what can we do? Right. And we'll have an arc to it. And then, you know, we'll see if the guys want to continue to keep working on it. But right now they're at the very beginning of what's the first little thing we need to do. Well, like, you know, like lean startup, get out and talk, right? Like go and talk to some of the restaurant owners and ask them what sustainability is. Like, we could do this, right? Like, what's the one thing you could do, right? Versus like, because it is overwhelming. It is huge. It is like, let's take a deep breath, right? We understand that, right? But we also know as Agilists, we've had this experience before in any of our corporations. Where do we start? What do we do, right? Like, even from Kanban, they teach us, like, start with where you're at, right? But go ahead.
One thing that I think it's not what we see when we are in these corporations and organizations is that, you know, you haven't mentioned things like Scrum or Safe or Less or, you know, whatever. Right. And when often you go to the organization, especially when you're new in the field, you are expected to, you know, play according to the playbook, and you just do these tours and you do these events. And often we misconstruct what agility is, and doesn't sound like that's what you have in mind.
No.
It's almost like you're getting back to the pure concept of agility. You know, like you're like, actually every time you should be building it from scratch if it hasn't already been established. So it's like, I love it. You're starting from where they're at.
Well, and I think the thing is, like, from our perspective, it's about, like, hate to say it, but I mean, I don't care so much about the tools, right? It's not about the specific tools that I'm using. It's all about, you know, what's the problem, right? What's the problem that we're trying to solve? And, you know, then it becomes, okay, great. So how do we tackle that problem? How do we get the team inspired and rallied around that? Like, how do we kind of, like, you know, work with that particular team? So it's like, I love agility and all we've learned in that space, because that gives me that nice space that I can work within. Right. And I can pull this tool, I can pull that tool, and it's great to have. And I have that there, and I have my coaching, and I have all the other stuff, and it's great. But it's that what really matters is that problem, is the people. It's like, you know, that's what matters. And I'm going to bring whatever tool I can. Right. I'm not stuck with one.
That's right.
You might even make a few
along the ways.
Oh, that's what we're trying to do. But and if I don't have it, I bring friends in. Right. Because you know what? We have a big, huge community that's beautiful and beaming with people who want to help. Beaming, right?
So that actually leads me to my last question is, let's say I'm a listener of this show and I'm like, I didn't know that there was a community. I'm actually doing stuff like this. How do I become a part of your community? How do I share, or how do I put myself into the list of people that want to join a project? So either I'm doing a project and I want to share it, or I want to actually just, you know, somebody's already got some momentum and I want to help. How do people like that find out or you know?
I do have a form that they can fill in. I didn't put it connected to a website yet. Or they can contact me. It's fine.
What's the best way to contact you?
It would be on LinkedIn. And so you would look for Joanne Stone in Toronto. There's a lady who is an MD in New York, and a really great one, apparently. I'm not her. But yeah, that's a great way.
Okay, great.
Yeah. And the other thing that we do is actually, because we're trialing all these different things, we're just being pure, like, experimenting all the time. We have meetups that happen. So we do monthly community meetups. There's a few of us in the community that set them up, and
so
we have another
just
one.
This isn't an archipelago. These aren't like little islands of things. There's actually bigger than that. This is a movement, if you will, where it's not just the project you're working on. It's finding like-minded people.
Yeah. Yes. Wow. And we have a lot of people who are interested in trying to figure out how to do this. So I'm not the only one. Like, there's people that are out there that are writing books about it, that are bringing people. It's beautiful. It is so beautiful. And it's about, you know, finding all those stories and figuring out different platforms to start sharing it, for sure.
Well, I'm excited. I know that I have, and we don't have time for it, but I know I have examples of where I've used the skill set definitely outside. this, like, for instance, I'm helping my mother and my sister prepare my mom for retirement, and I'm using a lot of what I've learned and it's like a whole process, and I'm learning more about my mom and my sister through that. Jakob, have you ever used this skill set outside of business to help?
Yes, we actually did, together with Mark, who is a passionate coach and passionate person about climate change. I think in 2019 it was, we did run an open space with climate-focused people here in New Zealand. We had maybe 20 people, and was, you know, amazing energy and an ideas exchange. And I think we ran it for like 5 or 6 hours, and amazing things happened. And similarly, before we started recording, John, you mentioned about this New Zealand person who worked with teachers. And when I in my previous jobs, we did an open space again for directors from South Auckland who are often working in poorer communities. And they had, you know, they were not sure how to talk to each other, how to exchange ideas, and just creating a space where it was like a training a bit about agility, finished with a 3 hours of open space where they could actually start thinking how they could apply all this thinking we taught them about how they could apply that work. And just, they were so smart and so passionate that we just give them some seeds of ideas, what's possible. And then they just extrapolated into these big possibilities, which was amazing. So you don't really, I don't think you need to have, you need to invest much energy into it, just looking for these opportunities.
Well, and then the thing you were touching on, sorry, is another thing is that we don't have to be the experts in it.
Yes, exactly. Yes.
And so, and that to me is like, is so cool. Like, it's just coming in there and just, you know, interviewing people, finding out what's, so like we are bringing them on the team. And so the more that we start doing this, the more that we're going to be connected to the sustainability people. And by the way, this is a huge business, by the way. This is a huge business. So people don't want to do it. They want to do it for money. Mm-hmm. You know,
people got bills, just like you were saying.
We got bills to pay. But like companies are now being asked to support it, doing it by ESGs, right? So, and that looks really great for, you know, the people who are investing. So it's, you know, those companies shine. But it's more than a checkbox of things, obviously. And those companies that really care, they really want help, right? And they need help putting it out there. So, and there's lots of people that are starting to work in this space too. So it's like, it is an ideal place to be.
That's fantastic. Wow. Joanne, look, thank you so much for joining us today. You've discovered and have tapped into a value stream that totally existed, but no one was putting together. And we didn't realize it was as rich as it was until you've started to gather the stories and share them with us. Thank you so much for your time.
Oh, thank you. It's been wonderful.
And I think, Joe, I would love to continue this topic, and maybe we can, you know, find some people to talk to who can give us more examples like this.
Without a doubt. Now that we've got sort of the roadmap, the broad picture, I want to dive in and get some of these individuals. And I want to know, you know, I want to know their story on how they started it, because now I'm keen on starting it. I want to do something. This is probably the first time in a while I've been as excited as I am about the Agile community. So thank you so much, Joanne.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Thanks everyone for listening.
Bye.